This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Mango and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Keeping you up to date here on a beautiful Saturday morning. It's a little chilly out. Got snow coming. You excited for a couple more inches of snow, Mego?
Is it snow or sleet?
I keep seeing the two.
So I'm not excited about that.
Yeah.
I like snow. The snow that we got, the last snow that we got was nice. It was like a nice fluffy,
yeah,
easy to clean off your car.
Great.
Looks pretty. But the sleet, like, I'm not down with it. It was raining the other day when I had to take my dog out, and everything turned miserable. To slush. It was impossible to walk anywhere.
Slippery as all get out.
I really don't mind snow. It's the wintry mix that I cannot rock with at all.
Yeah. I think, too, one of my least favorite things about the winter is the amount of salt that is just everywhere.
Dude,
it gets in your shoes
and
on the floors.
The floors in my home are disgusting, and I keep mopping them, but I've got a dog.
Yep.
And she's not going to wear booties outside.
Nope, neither is mine.
So when your dog comes in, do you get like the little salt paw prints all over your floor?
Oh, yeah.
I can see what she does during the day. I'm like, okay, so she went into the kitchen, and then she went into the office, and now she comes back through here. That's my puppy.
Nice. mine, too. So Henry does this thing. He's a super drama queen. So like,
no
if you're
way.
Walking,
I have a Siberian Husky. Not dramatic at all.
Yeah, he's a Boston Terrier. And when we're walking.
Also not dramatic at all.
He'll just like every once in a while, he'll just sit down and like lift up his paw.
Yes.
Because he has like salt in his paw. And he's like, please clean this for me. I need to continue my walk. If you don't clean it, I'm not
he's
going
like,
anywhere.
Peasant,
yep.
Come over here.
Exactly. Chives, wash my paw.
But have you ever tried the dog booties on him?
Yeah, we did a couple of times, but he just rips them off.
Yeah, they don't like them.
Henry won't even wear a jacket. Like, he won't wear a sweater, nothing. And he's tiny. Well, he's not tiny. I mean, he's like 28 pounds, but he's not like a big dog. He doesn't have like a ton of hair, so he's probably freezing when it's miserable outside. And yet he's like, nope, he like forgets how to walk. You put a sweater on him and he walks sideways, like crab walks instead of walking forward.
I mean, if I had to wear a stupid sweater as a dog, I would probably feel that way too. Even
true.
If it's for his to retain his own internal temperature, I'd probably not be happy with that. So
yeah.
I get where he's coming from.
Yeah, it's tough. But let's get into the Boston Celtics here, Mego, because the Celtics could be losing an assistant coach to college. Sam Cassell may be going to Florida State, his alma mater. I'm kind of curious where your thought is at this present time. What a loss like Sam Cassell would mean for Joe Mazzulla and this basketball team.
So this report comes from Steve Polpett, who I used to work with at the Boston Herald, and he's super tied in and talked to Sam Cassell about these rumors that were out there. Multiple sources, as Polpett wrote, indicate Celtics assistant coach Sam Cassell will be in serious consideration to become the head coach next year at Florida State, which is his alma mater. And so he talked to him and said, once the athletic department reaches out to me, then the interest is official, but they haven't reached out to me. And that was Polpett talked to Cassell right before the Spurs game this week. The athletic director hasn't reached out to me yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me really panicked. Because I think Sam Cassell is a huge part of why the Celtics won last year. He is a super, super bright coach. He's super involved in in-game decision-making, which is not always the case with assistants in the NBA. But you see Cassell, he really determines when they're going to challenge, when they're not going to challenge. He's all over everything in timeouts. He's talking to guys one-on-one. I'm not saying that, like, Missoula can't get them back to the finals without Sam Cassell, but I think a huge difference between Missoula's first year and Missoula's second year when they went back to the finals and won was the staff that the Celtics put around him.
Agreed.
And the most important assistant, in my opinion, that Missoula has is Sam Cassell. He works so well with these guys. He adds so much. He is such a support system for both the starters on the team and Joe Missoula. It's the kind of thing where I really don't think that they can afford to lose him at this point in the season. They can't afford to lose him going into the playoffs. Like, he is integral to this. So I really hope that it's that Sam Cassell gets all the opportunities that he deserves because he's worked super hard for it and he's very qualified and, as I said, really bright, really important part of this franchise. I just hope that it happens in the summer.
Yeah.
Just get back to the finals, win another one, and then go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to leave eventually, whether it was for an NBA head coaching job or if he goes back to Florida State.
He's interviewed for NBA jobs.
Exactly. I mean, you've already seen a Celtics assistant go and become a head coach elsewhere as well. Like, that's, it was great when you brought him in for the staff, but it's also imperative that Joe Missoula starts taking more steps forward, I think. As a young head coach, he's been learning with these guys. Guys like Sam Cassell have helped him all this time, and now it's going to start becoming even more important for him to really kind of establish himself as a, not veteran head coach, but he's been the head coach of this team now for, what, 3 years? Like, it's important that he starts, you know, really assuming a lot of those duties and a lot of those roles. I'm not asking him to be Bill Belichick and have his hands in everything, but he needs to... he needs to start really kind of establishing himself as the guy and not be, I guess, as reliant on assistant coaches.
So I don't know if it's like reliant on, and I don't want to paint that picture that it's like he, like the team can't function without Sam Cassell. I just think Sam Cassell, when we talk about glue guys, to me, like, that's a glue coach.
Got it.
Like, he is, he's just such a fantastic person and just connects so well with the players. And I do think, like, helped Missoula a lot in his second year. I will say, I think Missoula has taken some pretty big leaps since his first year.
Definitely.
You remember in the first year, everything that everybody was critical about, from the gum chewing on the sidelines, which was silly.
The
inability to call timeouts, the feel of the in-game rhythm and everything. And then it became, oh, Missoula only talks about three-pointers, and people were irritated about that. Now I think Missoula has really grown into himself. And he won't get the credit for it because, and I'm somebody who was critical at the beginning, very much so. I don't think he'll get the credit for it because of the state of the roster. Mm. It's like the state of the roster is so good that no one single guy, whether it's Missoula or Tatum, gets the credit. But I don't know. I just, it really bummed me out to read this report from Bullpet because I want it for Sam, but I also want him to be here because I want the Celtics to be firing on all cylinders, have everything that they possibly can at their fingertips to get back and go back to back. And I think he's a really big piece of it, at least for this year. Like, you go into the offseason, you can figure it out. You can reassemble a staff.
You can bring in new
people.
You can
rework things. Your roster is probably going to be different next year, and that's fine. But to come out All-Star Weekend and have this around, and then there's an interview opportunity, and if this goes forward, happy for Sam. I just think it's a bummer.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, again, Sam Cassell was a guy, when they brought him in, there were whispers that if Missoula didn't work out, they would just make Sam Cassell the head coach.
Yeah, we were saying that about, like, Van Gundy too, though.
True.
Who was just who was just working behind the scenes.
But also, like, Missoula worked out. So to his credit, he has grown, like you said, he has grown. He has kind of become a head coach, and it's going to be tough losing a guy like Sam Cassell, who's as smart and as relatable to the players as you've kind of said. Like, that's a difficult transition to go through. But again, it's also kind of just, these players are so good that it shouldn't matter. In the grand scheme of things,
it
really shouldn't be as big of an impact as we may think it is.
And they're 10-3 through their last 13 games.
Yeah.
They couldn't have gone into All-Star break in a better position, especially loving that it's really spearheaded by Jason Tatum.
Yep.
He's been just awesome. Out of his mind over the last three games heading into the break. Like, it is, it's an excellent place for them to be sitting as a team. I don't want to see assistants walk, and it happens all over the league. I, in particular, don't want to see this assistant walk. I just think he's an important part of the team's identity and how they play right now.
You had also mentioned that you think that the roster is going to be a lot different next year.
Well, I think it's going to be different. I don't know if I'd say, like, significantly different.
Okay,
but
so you, that was kind of my question. Yeah. You don't think there's going to be, of course, like, Sam Cassell is probably going to leave, whether it's in the season or after the season, one way or another, he will eventually just be gone. Now, when you talk about the actual player roster, though, do you think that's going to be different?
I think a lot of it, it's difficult to answer.
Because a lot of these guys are under contract,
well,
right?
What's going to happen with the sale? We don't know what's going to happen with the sale. You know, I talked to some people about Jeffrey Lurie, and then Jeffrey Lurie comes out Super Bowl week and says, that's not something that I'm involved with right now. I'm paraphrasing. And we still don't know who, besides Pags and his group, who else is in this sale. And so would it be somebody coming in who says, I want to run it all back again? Especially if they win.
Would it be
and
like
say,
the new Mavericks?
Let's go for a three-peat. Like, let's get wild. I don't think anybody's going to be getting it. I've heard people.
You're not going to see Jason Tatum get traded in the middle of the night?
That would be as insane as Luka. That would be as insane. You can't do that.
No,
you can't touch Tatum.
I agree. You can't. But at the same time, like, if new owners come in and they have an agenda, nobody's safe.
But the crazy and most telling thing about the Mavericks ownership is how they've acted since then. That tells you everything. I mean, they kind of seem
like
to be
throwing fans out because they were booing.
Yeah. So if, and they've been, you know, quietly trying to throw doubts on Luka, like his body, his conditioning, who he was going to be in a couple years. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis can't even play right now.
It's
he's
the
injured.
Classic Red Sox post, like, firing manager mudslinging.
Yeah, it's like a smear campaign. Yeah. And so it'd be really difficult to do that with Tatum. If you traded Tatum away, like, what could you say about him?
He wasn't dedicated. He was too dedicated to his son.
Yeah, you can't. You really can't come up with anything. The dude is always available. He's always healthy.
But if you traded Jaylen Brown, I bet people would concoct things. They concoct things with him on the team.
Jaylen Brown takes care of his body too.
Yeah, but they would say things that are non-basketball related.
Okay. Well, that would be really gross.
I agree. No, don't get me wrong. I don't disagree with you. I just think that there is an avenue in which certain people would do that, and they would trade him away and be like, "Look, he was more worried about things off the court, more worried about, you know, furthering his life away from basketball, blah, 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 things like that." And they would just use that as the, you know, smear campaign on the way out the door.
Yeah. So it's like, if you're asking me if a new ownership group comes in, would they trade one of the Jays immediately or something like that? I don't think it's going to be like that. I do think that there's pieces of the roster. Somebody like Drew Holiday, who's 34 years old, and right now he's been out with his shoulder stuff that is, in my opinion, not going to get better.
No, it just keeps lingering.
As the season goes on, that's just something that he's going to deal with. Like, do you eventually look at the depth that you have at guard and say, well, we're just going to move Peyton up in that rotation eventually and go with Derek and Peyton and have somebody behind him? There's just natural evolutions of a team. This team is not going to stay this starting 5/6 for the next 3 years. It's the NBA doesn't work that way.
With this Drew injury, is it something that would require surgery? Is that why they haven't just kind of sat him out for a month and just been like, look, get it better?
I don't know enough. Like, I'm not a doctor. I don't know that it requires injury, but it does seem
like. You're on
the
radio. Play a doctor.
It seems like it's a kind of like, I don't even know if the word would be chronic, but like season long.
Yeah.
And the way that he talks about it makes it sound like it's just something that he's dealing with at the age that he's at. Which, again, like, 34 is not 38,
no,
like Al Horford, where he's not playing back-to-backs. Like, it's not 40 like LeBron. But 34, when you're a perimeter defender like Drew Holiday and you put so much on your body playing the style that he plays, that stuff does creep up on you.
617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the Boston Celtics. You can also weigh in on the Red Sox. We talked about them a lot in the first hour of the program here. Everything's on the table. It's Mego and Scheim right here on Boston Sports Original. But right now, Jacob, it's going to get you caught up with what's trending.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Mango and Sean here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Super Bowl was less than a week ago. It feels like a year ago at this point.
Feels so long ago.
But it was so nice watching the Chiefs get their teeth kicked in by that Philadelphia Eagles team. Even if the Saquon Barkley props didn't hit, I'm very happy that the Eagles won the Super Bowl last Sunday. But there are reports coming out now, Mego, that some of this Chiefs team were feeling Super Bowl fatigue.
Ridiculous.
That the extra games that they've played every year, and even I think you can kind of glean some of this from Travis Kelce and his like last New Heights podcast, talked about kicking the can down the road on his decision on retirement, but immediately brought up the extra games he's played every single year, you know, over the last 6-7 seasons, where it's like, you know, we're playing 3-4 extra games on a season, you know, I'm playing a whole extra season in the last couple years. And it's like, Can you imagine a team being so unaware, so kind of oblivious to the rest of the, like, the football world being like, yeah, we have Super Bowl fatigue?
This is what Henry McKenna of Fox Sports wrote this week. I think I saw it yesterday. I'm not sure exactly when it was published, but he wrote for Fox Sports, before the game, a Chiefs coach told me that media members had been asking him if going to the Super Bowl ever got old. Whoops, sorry, my screen just, Super Bowl ever got old. He bluntly told me, quote, "It does. There was legit Super Bowl fatigue from this Chiefs team. It was completely clear in the first half when things escalated quickly." That is the difference between a dynasty led by Tom Brady and a dynasty from this team.
Yeah.
That's the difference between being a three championship team dynasty and being 6-7 if you just want to talk about Brady himself.
Well, when, yeah, that's right.
When Brady talked about it, his favorite ring was always the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And he meant it every time he said it. Like, the most important ring, my favorite one is the next one.
Can you imagine Jordan being like, I'm kind of tired of these NBA championships? I mean, I guess he did kind of lose his mind and go play baseball for a year, but, you know, I think that he was in a grieving process, and you can also look up your own conspiracy theories for what was going on when Jordan decided to play baseball, but he came back and won some more.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You think LeBron gets mad about going to the NBA Finals? What, has he been there like 7 times?
Oh.
8 times? Even though he's lost a bunch, doesn't matter. I bet he never gets tired of being there.
It's such a bad look for the Chiefs.
Such a bad look.
That a coach said, it does get old going to the Super Bowl. Now, when we watched
the highest achievement,
when
in the
we watched the Dynasty last year, when we watched that series, there was a little bit of the later chapters where you saw guys like Gronk, you saw Brady. All of a sudden, it's like, it's not fun anymore. The pressure is so tough.
Yep.
It's so intense. Everything feels like it's the end of the world when we lose. But they always were dying to get back there.
And I think you saw a lot of that pressure on Patrick Mahomes this past Sunday. Like, you could see it. I mean, there were Travis Kelce and other Chiefs players had to go up to him 10 minutes into the game and be like, you good? Like, you all right?
Like, what's wrong with you?
Like, you good? Like, are you good? And he's like, yeah, yeah. Anytime a player has to go up to the quarterback and check on him and be like, hey, you good? That's not a good sign for the rest of the team. That's not a good sign for the rest of the game, period. Like, you're kind of screwed at that point. And it felt like, I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly who had this, but I believe someone even talked about how normally Mahomes treated the Super Bowl like it's just another game. Like, I got to go out, I'm just going to win another game. And yet this one was like something he was thirsty for. Like, he was like, I need to do the three-peat.
But then why does
I need
it,
to win this
why
football
Why doesn't
game.
That translate to the rest of the team when they're saying they're tired of going to the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Super Bowl fatigue.
I think the feeling may be fatigue, but I think for him it was like he looked at it like it was something that it was such a massive mountain, and he had to climb it. And, you know, sometimes when you want it so, so bad, you just don't put your best foot forward.
Oh, that is me in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I'm practice player.
Yeah.
Like, when the bright lights are on and you put so much pressure on yourself, that is like classic get thee to a sports psychologist.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you have so much pressure on yourself that you just totally implode. But what we saw from Mahomes, I fully expected at some point this week to get, oh, Mahomes had this rotator cuff injury. Mahomes had this or
Courtney
that.
Thought he was sick. He might have had the neurovirus.
Okay. I mean, yeah, maybe good on him if he did, and he just doesn't want that to come out and have it look like there's excuses. But I think it's worse if it's like he almost got something in the realm of yips where he suddenly the pressure was so tough on him.
He was terrible. That's the worst game I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, I think I'd agree.
And I know statistically it is without a doubt the worst game he ever played through three quarters. But watching that football game, I couldn't tell you the last time I watched a quarterback in a Super Bowl be so, I hate to use this word, but like inept.
Well, the funniest thing to me is that right after you got the takes coming out in the Chiefs' favor saying the line in front of Mahomes has been fraudulent all season, like Yeah, but Tooney shouldn't have been playing over and tackle. He should have stayed at guard because he has short arms and whatever. Like, you have your own judgment there. But I'm like, I don't remember that being a big storyline this season. And it was more about, this is a 15-2 team that got lucky a lot. But the Chiefs have been that the year before as well and won the Super Bowl.
So I think it was a storyline up until week 16 when they kicked Tooney out to tackle. When they made that move from Tooney to tackle, all of a sudden the sacks like disappeared. Patrick Mahomes went from being the most sacked in his career ever to that point to like not getting sacked at all. From that point on, I want to say it was week 15 or 16 when they made the switch from Tooney to at guard to tackle, the sacks kind of disappeared and they didn't come back until that Philly game. Like, Buffalo did not get that kind of pressure in the AFC Championship game. They weren't even close. And yet Philly dominated. They absolutely owned the line of scrimmage in a way I haven't seen since the Giants against Tom Brady.
So you don't put them up with like the Seattle defenses,
No, because I think those Legion of Boom defenses were different. Like, I don't think they pass rushed in quite the same way.
Because they were secondary based.
Yeah, they were just physical across the board. Like, I mean, Brandon Browner would just maul you at the line of scrimmage as a receiver. And Richard Sherman was tremendous. That was the peak of Sherman's career when he was playing. And he would just lock down an entire side of a football field. And then you have Earl Thomas, who's just a heat-seeking missile in the secondary. And so, like,
that was a fun team.
That was a great team. And then the linebackers, I mean, Malcolm Smith was a Super Bowl MVP. Bobby Wagner, one of the best linebackers
still
we've
at
seen.
It.
Yeah, still at it for the Washington Commanders. So, like, I think that team was so reliant on what was behind the defensive line that made them so good.
Yeah, they're different, but I guess in the sense of having this dominant defense that can disassemble a quarterback like Mahomes, I wonder if there's any part of you that feels like Mahomes has been solved for. I remember at different points of, like, Brady's career where all of a sudden it'd be, okay, pressure up the middle and Brady gets uncomfortable. And with Mahomes, there's been so much of his style where he can hold it for a while.
Yeah.
Like, he can hold on to it. He can scramble. He'll make the kind of stupid sidearm pass that Collinsworth loses his mind over.
Yep.
And is like, only Patrick Mahomes. But maybe he's getting to a point in his career where there is going to be less of that success when you get into the playoffs.
So I would, and this is, I am not one to make excuses for Patrick Mahomes. If there's anybody at this station who has been critical of Patrick Mahomes more, I would beg to differ. I have ridiculed him since the day he walked into the league. And so I think, though, that this was a lot of game planning and roster building that led to this issue. Because if you look at the early ages of Patrick Mahomes, the first couple of seasons, they were this big play, massive deep attack kind of offense that would just rip chunk plays, 20 here, 30 here, 50 yards to Tyreek Hill. And then because of that, and then Josh Allen started doing the same thing, teams around the league adopted this too high safety style of offense, or it's like, or defense, where it's like, nope, we're not going to allow you to do that. You have to hit everything in front of you. And over the last couple seasons, you've seen Mahomes completely adjust his game. And instead of being a deep down the field, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns kind of guy, he has learned to dink and dunk, check it down, move the chains,
but
long
drives.
But
he couldn't even do that on Sunday. Like, it was reminding me kind of like of a basketball player when they're super cold and you see it with somebody like Peyton Pritchard and you're like, he just needs to see one go in. He just needs to see the ball in the hoop. And Patrick Mahomes could not see the ball in a receiver's hands.
Well, so I think one of the reasons why, though, is because the Eagles recognize that and we're like, all right, then we'll force you to beat us deep. Because the only players Patrick Mahomes really had success with late in the game were those deep shots, those balls to Xavier Worthy down the field. And he had an opportunity to go to Xavier Worthy in that game down the field early. The Eagles were giving him that chance, and he wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
They instead loaded themselves kind of into the box, only rushed four, and then just crowded the middle and edges of the field.
Yeah, it made it impossible to make those connections.
Exactly. And so, again, I think this was a – and then Andy Reid didn't adjust until, like, the fourth quarter, when Patrick Mahomes finally decided, all right, I'm going to rip it 50 yards down the field.
Yeah, and he's ripping it against backups.
Yeah,
because
exactly,
at that point, the game
was
so
34
far
nothing.
Gone. So far gone.
Yeah.
What a crazy Super Bowl that was.
It was awesome. It was so fun to watch. I understand people that thought it was a boring Super Bowl,
But I thought it got really boring in the second half. The first half was hilarious.
Tremendous.
The first half, when they went into the second quarter, I was laughing my ass off. I was like, this is such a pantsing. This is fabulous. I am very much enjoying myself. And then the second half, I was mostly scrolling to see like what the reactions to Kendrick Lamar were. I was like, this is getting, I can kind of see how this is going now. We got a backup going in. I think I'm good. I think I'm set.
To me though, like it was... I'll be honest. There was that lingering fear of 28-3.
Really? Once they got into the third quarter and they came out of halftime looking that way, I was like, this is done.
But like, I watched Tom Brady throw a pick six in that Falcons Super Bowl. Like, it looked bad for a half. It wasn't until third quarter, Chiefs get the ball to start the third quarter and they do nothing. And then I'm like, oh, okay, so the Eagles are actually dominating this football game. This isn't like a mirage. This isn't we're going to see a great historical moment here to really kind of put Patrick Mahomes in the same category as Tom Brady. The Eagles are just dominating this football game, and that's when I kind of kicked my feet up and was enjoying everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I was enjoying it very early on, and then I got to a point where I was like, I can see where this is going. Let's
let's fast forward to the end.
Let's scroll Instagram now.
Let's go to Eddie in New Hampshire, wants to talk about the Super Bowl. What's up, Eddie?
Yeah, remember in the first half, right at the end of the first half, like 3 minutes left, Patrick Mahomes was 5 of 12 for like 24 yards.
Yep.
Right? He didn't even complete a first down yet.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, he had he had one first down.
Fantastic call.
Yeah, great call. It was the first pass of the game, Juju Smith-Schuster, 11 yards, first down. They did not get another first down until... either late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That, it just got
which, by the
dominated.
Way, did look, I did feel a little bit like, okay, at least Juju is showing himself to be the Juju that we know.
Yeah.
Because if Juju Smith-Schuster had once again been some Super Bowl hero, I would have just slapped myself in the face and said, come on.
Doesn't it make you more mad, though, at the Ravens and Bills?
Yes, because I think either of those teams... would have given you a much better Super Bowl.
Way better game. Like, it wouldn't have even been close. And yet, they could not get, especially, the Ravens, I guess, technically didn't get a shot because they didn't get past the Bills. But, like, the Bills didn't even get nearly the kind of pressure that Philly got. They were not prepared to beat Mahomes yet again in that, like, on that stage. And it's just, I understand that the refs weren't great in that game, but, I mean, come on.
Oh, Shai, my biggest takeaway from the entire Super Bowl was that the Commanders are actually less fraudy of a team than I thought they were.
Oh, my God. Jaden Daniels, he
somehow emerged from the Super Bowl better than I thought he was.
And he didn't even play.
And I thought he was the greatest rookie, and already we agreed he's a top five quarterback.
Yes.
I watched that Eagles defense, and I went, damn. Jaden is that guy.
Do you want to know who the second best team in football was? Apparently, according to what we saw in the Super Bowl, probably the LA Rams. They're the only team that even gave Philly a game in the playoffs. Like, the Eagles came in, beat down on the Packers 22-10. The Rams were two plays away from beating the Philadelphia Eagles in the divisional round in the snow. Couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And then the Eagles came out, stomped the Commanders only because the offense decided to fumble three times. Jaden Daniels actually looked good and could
move
the football.
A lot of fumbles. Also, they missed their run stopper, who was out like 48 hours before the game.
And then Philly just owned the Chiefs. The only team the entire playoffs that gave Philly an actual game was the LA freaking Rams and Matthew Stafford, who might be turning to dust as we speak.
Yeah, what is going to happen with Stafford?
I think he'll play one more year, is my guess. I think they are starting to retool. This is my guess, and we can kind of get into... I came out with my first mock draft of the year this week. At one of my big surprise takes in the first round, I think, was the Rams drafting Jackson Dart, the quarterback out of Ole Miss, late in the first round. I think they do that knowing that this will be Stafford's last year, is kind of my guess. That's why they're moving on from Kupp now. They're like, look... like, it's fine. We're going to start retooling and get ready. We know we may, like, sneak into the playoffs this year, but not be amazing. We'll get Stafford in there for a year, sit Jackson Dart, and then go from there.
I think Stafford's career is just incredibly, like, perplexing case study. And I think a lot of people look at it as worst case scenario for Drake May. Like, if Drake May hangs around in purgatory and is really good, at least statistically, but is never really able to lift the Patriots to a meaningful team.
It's the Saquon Barkley quandary, right? Like, it is, this guy is insanely talented, but he was stuck on the loser franchise for so long. Maybe if he had gotten traded to the Rams earlier and been put with a better team earlier, he might have won way more than he did. Saquon Barkley leaves the Giants and immediately wins the Super Bowl.
But there's a piece of that that I think is different for a running back than a quarterback, because the quarterback, part of it reflects on you, that you can't drag this franchise out of the mud.
That's fair. That's true. I think you're right in that regard. I just think that, like, it's sad because I think Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Fame level talent, but I don't think he'll make the Hall of Fame.
You don't?
No. Yeah. I think if Eli Manning's not in, I don't think Matthew Stafford's in.
I think Eli's going to get in.
I don't think he should.
I think he should.
I'm a small hall guy.
Okay, so, yeah, you're a small hall guy. I believe the Hall of Fame basically functions as a museum.
Yep.
And if you're trying to tell the story of football, a huge part of that is the one weird little brother quarterback who takes down the greatest dynasty not once but twice.
Yeah, but I think it was
in a very short span of time.
I think it was the New York Times said it appropriately, where Eli Manning has had Hall of Fame moments, not a Hall of Fame career.
Right, but the moments are so big to me that they tell the story. I feel that if you're putting some of these, kind of random guys like Eric Allen in, then Eli I think Eli should probably be in then. And so we're talking about this from a big hall perspective.
Yeah.
It's a museum. To me, it's not like so much awarding the greatest players of all time. It should be that, but I don't think that's how it functions.
Yeah. And I guess that's fair. If you're going from it at that angle, I think it should just be the greatest players to have ever played the sport.
Well, if that's the case, then Vinatieri not getting in, and I feel this way, is completely ridiculous.
I totally
he
agree.
Should have been a first ballot.
But
guard.
There's a bias against kickers.
Yes.
Like, that's just kind of how
there's
it
only
is.
Two in the hall.
Yep.
So stupid.
Jan Stenerud and I had this last week. Anderson. Walt Anderson? Nope. That's a referee. Anderson. I forget his first name. Now it's bugging the crap out of me. Regardless. No, yeah, Morton Anderson. There it is.
There you go. Morton
Anderson, Jan Stenerud. Those are the two. And then Ray Guy's the only punter. Anyways, it's just, I look at it and I see, I mean, Eli's not top 10 in any quarterback stat all time. Like, I think he's just on the outside. I think he's 11 on like two or three of them. But even still, not top 10. Post 2011, he was 48 and 67.
Damn.
Yeah. Like, That's terrible. That is terrible. Matthew Stafford over the last 4 years in the months of December, January, and February is like 20-3. Okay. He's been awesome even as an older player. He has the Super Bowl ring. He has the number stats. I mean, he just passed Eli in a bunch of all-time stats. He has the 5,000-yard season. Like, it's just, I don't know. Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Fame level talent that I think unfortunately will miss out on the Hall of Fame, which is a bummer. And if he does end his career this year, I'm sad to see him go, because he's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. I just think he has opened the door for guys like Patrick Mahomes and CJ Stroud and maybe Jaden Daniels to some extent, but not quite that avenue, but other guys like the Jordan Loves even of the world. I think Matthew Stafford, he was the pioneer, and that's kind of what makes him so important.
Jordan Love, by the way, I mean, we might need to do like an emergency top 10 quarterbacks.
Okay.
At some point. Jordan Love is falling fast for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's the coach. Like, Matt LaFleur is a really good football coach. And I mean, you saw Jordan Love goes out. You put in Malik Willis, who stunk with the Titans. He was so bad with the Titans. I think they were 2-0 or 3-0 with Malik Willis.
I like the way you just said that. The Titans. Like, all of a sudden you turned. No, you said it like you were in the SNL Chicago sketch. You're like, the Titans.
The Titans.
Like, the Bears.
The Bears.
The Titans.
That commercial, by the way, the Matthew McConaughey, the Bears commercial, got really annoying leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there were two different McConaughey commercials in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was the Salesforce one and then the Uber Eats one, I believe.
I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. I've never seen a star in two different commercials for two different companies in one Super Bowl.
I mean, Matt Damon literally did it in that Super Bowl as well. He was in the Dunkin' Donut, the Dunkin's commercials,
but
and then the Stella Artois
commercials. He was just referenced in the Dunkin's commercial. He wasn't
true.
In it.
Oh, that's right.
Like, McConaughey was the spokesperson for both of those commercials.
That's true.
He was the face of the commercials.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Get that money.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Never going to knock the hustle. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in at all on the Super Bowl. We talked about the Celtics. We talked about the Red Sox so far on the program here today. Let's get into a football-adjacent story here next, Mego. Mm. A little Bill Belichick. He was in that Dunkin's commercial.
Yes.
We'll talk about maybe why.
With somebody else.
Yep. And other things coming up next year. It's Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Taking you all the way up until noontime this afternoon, where I believe Rob Bradford will take over live from spring training. Bradfo down there. He's already getting videos of Alex Bregman doing signatures.
Nice.
Signing autographs.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Trevor Story walking into the building. So it's exciting time down at Fenway South. But, Mega, we were just talking about the Super Bowl. One of the things we saw in the Super Bowl was a man who we are very familiar with, one mm-hmm. Bill Belichick, in the Dunkin's commercial alongside his girlfriend, Jordan. We also saw them at the NFL Honors. They were all dressed up. Bill had a big, big smile on his face wearing all of his rings at the NFL Honors. Snoop Dogg even made, a funny in their direction, which is great. But there are people who now believe that his girlfriend is basically acting as his agent.
Yeah, so I'll start here. Shaughnessy wrote in the Globe yesterday. He said, folks at the University of North Carolina must be scratching their heads after Bill Belichick's week-long spectacle in New Orleans. As the Globe's Chris Gasper brilliantly wrote, the juxtaposition between the dignity of Brady during Super Bowl week and the baroque, such a Gasper word, baroque behavior of Bill Belichick was another one-up for Brady on his old coach. While Brady's aura was being polished, Belichick was being paraded around as a human Harry Winston bauble by his ingenue Instagram influencer girlfriend at NFL Honors. Shaughnessy writes, indeed, Belichick's New Orleans trail of gossip and photos has me wondering, what's going on with the Golden Bachelor? Wearing his 8 Super Bowl rings to NFL awards night flies in the face of the hoodie's comportment during his quarter-century Patriots reign. So it's this feeling that people have watching Bill. And I got a couple texts from friends after the Super Bowl week saying, what's going on with him? Why is he all of a sudden going from a position of he's out as the Patriots coach.
Yep.
He's on 7 different TV shows and podcasts.
Sure is.
And all over the media, like the hottest media commodity for football season. And now he's walking every red carpet Super Bowl week and he's flashing the rings and he's got his younger girlfriend wearing her college cheerleading championship ring, I believe it was. And like
wearing a Super Bowl champion Atlanta Falcons t-shirt.
Yes, that was the big one. Acting incredibly differently than he did when he was the head coach here. To which I say, like, do you think that's the influence of Jordan, of the younger girlfriend, if she's acting as his agent, which Jason LaCanfora said as much this week on the Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast?
Yep.
Said that she's acting as his agent. So is she directing him in this way? Hey, this should be your brand. Like, you need to embrace what a boss you were in the league and remind people. Because I think that is a little bit of an awkward thing when you're going into college.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the college game now. You're not in the NFL.
No, and I think she is definitely a part of it, right? She's definitely influencing him to do a lot of these things. The social media aspect, I bet a lot of these different appearances on podcasts and whatnot, and even these red carpet appearances. Like, I bet she influences a lot of that. But at the same time, I think Belichick looks at it as a good way to just kind of give the middle finger to the NFL. Like,
that's totally what I think it is.
That's, I think, a large portion of it. That's what drives him. She might be driven by the idea of being on the red carpet and glamming up and being in commercials and all that stuff. And so she may be very much in favor of all that. But I think a lot of this for Bill boils down to, well, they didn't want me, so F them, I don't want them. And this is his way of being kind of on top of the world and sticking his middle finger towards the NFL.
Do you think that it's effective? Because I don't know that it's effective. I think that, like, as long as he's having a good time and he's happy with where he's at and the job at UNC, then who really cares? But if he's doing this because he indeed thinks he's, like, showing that he's better than the NFL or that he is the NFL, he's what everybody in the NFL wants to be as a coach or have as an owner, but they'll never get him. Like, I don't really think it makes sense.
No, I think you're right. I don't think it's very effective if that's what he's trying to do. If he's really trying to be like, look at me, I was football, and now you cast me aside and you stink, like, no. Football is going to keep marching forward. There's going to be really good football teams all the time, and people are going to love the sport and talk about it all the time, and Bill is going to eventually become a footnote. And that's just kind of the way the sport rolls and history rolls in general.
Like, I don't think he'll ever be a footnote. I think he... I don't think what he's doing right now or the way that he went out is going to affect his legacy as much as us folks locally try to talk ourselves through it.
Okay, maybe footnote was a little harsh, but like he won't be top of mind for a lot of people going forward. You know what I mean? Like, even though I bet he feels very jaded that a guy like Pete Carroll got another opportunity to coach in the NFL, who's technically older than Bill, I believe, where Bill is just kind of cast aside and was forced to go coach in college. I bet that really chaps his ass. Like, that to me was the big moment for him where he's like, all right, this is stupid. Like, what are we doing here? I have to go coach UNC, an ACC school, not even an SEC program, in college football, and Pete Carroll's now the head coach of the Vegas Raiders? Like, what the hell is going on? I didn't even get an interview this year.
I think people are surprised to see this side of him because they think of Bill as being the guy who was so strict in Foxborough, grew up
Definitely.
A Navy brat, like was all about that. And they thought that he was this blue blazer kind of uptight guy. But I think there's always been this side of Bill.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, players talk about it all the time, like how Bill had a sense of humor. And
very,
kind of,
very dry sense of humor.
Yeah. And so I bet now he's just more comfortable showing it off. And I bet his girlfriend is like pushing him to do it.
It's also kind of like, what does he have to lose at this point?
Yeah, he has nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So he's old. I mean, he's what, 76 or whatever it is? I don't know
not
exactly.
76. What is he, 73?
Is he 73? I don't know.
72, 73.
72. All right, yeah. Good call by you. Okay, so he's in his 70s, and like he's just like, what do I have to lose? What does it matter to me? I can do whatever I want now. I've lived my life. I've accomplished what I needed to accomplish. I'm the winningest coach in basically the sport has ever seen. I don't need to, you know, bow to anybody.
I'll say this. We've seen aging gentlemen act wilder.
Oh, yeah. Like
I know it's a funny talking point, and the idea that his girlfriend is his agent is a little, if that's true, it's a little mind-blowing to me. But we've seen a lot wilder out there.
Oh, yeah.
Out in those streets.
Out in the streets, without a doubt. 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI Mego, it's now time to get into some Patriots talk.
Yes. Yep.
I have gone 2 hours with minimal football discussion, especially none regarding the New England Patriots. So let's get into some Patriots talk coming up here on Mego and Chime on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.